In 2 Timothy tonight, I'm going to read verses 11 and 12. We're not too many weeks from finishing this book. Notice with me in verse 11 and 12, I want to title this John, Mark, Luke, Tychicus. And last week we were in verses 9 and 10, speaking a little bit about Timothy and also Demas and two other men that are mentioned there. He said here, beginning in verse 11 and 12, he said, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." Father, we do thank you again for this day. We thank you for this privilege. Lord, we pray tonight for thy will to be done. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we come toward the end of this book. And we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that we'll be obedient to it. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We find here in these two verses three companions and co-laborers with the Apostle Paul. Again, Demas was one of the men that was mentioned in verse 9 and 10. There were two other men. Titus was one of those men. But we find that when we think of Demas, who had professed to be a believer, we find that he was involved in the Lord's work, and he left it. No indication he was ever restored. Well, coming here tonight in verse 11, we have John Mark. And here's a man who was involved with the Lord's work, and he had left, and he was restored. And then we also have Luke that is mentioned here. He was a man that was involved in the Lord's work, and he never left. He stayed faithful until the end. So we have three different individuals. One who left, we have no indications he's restored. One who was restored after leaving, and another one who never left but remained faithful unto the end. You notice as we come here, and I believe this, let me say this. We find that as we look into the scripture, I love the character studies. We've done many. I usually do some each year. And we've actually done one on Luke, the beloved physician, and also John Mark, two or three, maybe 4 years ago, I can't remember which. But we find that as we consider these, that God gives their names to recognize them, whether good or bad. But he also gives us these names for our benefit. And it's always been very, very encouraging to me to study some of the biblical characters, Old Testament and New Testament. I don't know how many we've done and preached on, but there's been many over the years. And we may do a few after we finish this book. So I'm going to mention these three. Again, John, Mark, Luke, and Tychicus, just for a few moments here tonight. We find here in verse 11, first of all, Luke is mentioned. He said in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now again, we found out that Demas had actually forsaken Paul, but we have two others in verse 10 that had not forsaken him, but he had sent them to different areas. Titus is mentioned here. He went to Dalmatia, and he's also mentioned as Paul wrote to Titus, and he was sent to certain places, certain cities, to ordain elders in those cities. So two of these men are sent in a good way. They did not leave the ministry. So as we come here to these three men in verse 11 and 12, these are faithful men. Of course, Mark had a little glitch in his life, but we'll see that he was restored, very faithful. He gives us one of the books of the New Testament. So we serve the God of a second chance and a third chance, and on we could go. We only find Luke's name mentioned three times. We find it here, of course, Paul's last letter. We find it also in Colossians 4 and verse 14. Luke and Demas are mentioned in the same verse, both of them serving the Lord at the time. Demas Let me make sure that I give you that right verse. It's chapter 4, yes, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. At that time, Demas was involved in the ministry. And we find that as we come to Luke, he's mentioned here in Luke 4:14 and also Philemon in verse 24. So he's mentioned these three times, and we also have the book of Luke and the book of Acts. We refer to him as Dr. Luke, the beloved physician. He was a Gentile believer. We come to that conclusion by reading in Colossians 4, verses 7 through 17. As Paul closes out that letter, there's a list of believers that had been a blessing to him. And Luke is one of those, as we just mentioned. And there's three Jewish believers. He mentions them by name that was with Paul and associated with Paul, and then the rest are Gentiles. And so we believe that Luke was a Gentile believer, probably from Antioch of Syria, and he was the author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, a physician by profession. And he's only mentioned, again, three times, but he was a beloved believer. He was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. Again, a Gentile author of Scripture, probably the only one. He was a doctor, a healer of the body, and become a healer of the soul as well, involved in ministry. And I've known many doctors over the years that would go to the mission field. There's an organization out of North Carolina that we've actually supported at different times in the past. They do medical clinics in different countries, and they'll take a team of doctors and dentists and so forth, and they'll go to particular countries that do not have that kind of help, and they'll go there and minister to their physical needs and also preach the gospel, and they've seen churches established through that type of work. So Luke was a minister to the Apostle Paul. He was a helper. He was an aide. He was a servant of the Lord. Again, he wrote about one-fourth of the New Testament. He was a historian of the New Testament, because when you read the book of Luke, a rich book, he writes of the life of Christ. And then when you read through the book of Acts, he writes of the life of the church. So he's covering both of those. Now, for whatever reasons, he was with Paul, obviously to help minister, maybe also the physical needs of people. We do know that as we read through Paul's letters, and we would see this in the latter part of 2 Corinthians 11, the first part of 2 Corinthians 12, Galatians 4, and then in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 through 14, we know that Paul had several physical infirmities. We know that. And Paul speaks of it. He even mentions the fact, for the grace of God, he would glory in his infirmities. And so we know he had many. And sometimes, as I read the scripture, and there's other commentaries, whatever, kind of lean in this direction, that Paul obviously probably needed a doctor, and Luke traveled with him, and maybe that was part of the reason. We find that he also ministered spiritual things as well. Now again, as we read through, and I was going to turn to all these verses, I just want to give you some. If you want to just write these down, in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, again, we find that Luke, he starts the letter off, and I'm just going to read just a couple of verses here. And he says, "Forasmuch as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." He's talking about the apostles and what they had given to us. In verse 2, he said, "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of the things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, Theophilus here means lover of God or friend of God. You'll find this same word used in the book of Acts in the first three verses. And then he said in verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke refers to the apostles and what the Lord gave them and what they gave unto the church. And so as we, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts just for a moment. And notice with me in Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to give you about three passages in the book of Acts. But notice in Acts chapter 16, and I want to read two verses that our missionary read in his sermon this morning. And reading them for a little bit different reason, but still yet, I want you to notice in verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. Now, Luke, again, gives us the book of Luke, and he gives us the book of Acts. And Luke enters into the narrative of the book of Acts, includes himself not by name, but includes himself when he joins Paul as he is going to Macedonia. And notice as we read these two verses, we know that he's with Paul at this time, at least here. I don't know about before this, but at least here. It said in verse 9 and 10, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. As our brother mentioned this morning, Paul was on his way into Asia, and the Lord changed his direction and sent him into Macedonia. And this is, he went into some different areas, but Philippi was one of those areas in verse 12. And we see that he was put in jail, the Lord freed him. The jailer was saved and the church was established there at this time. Now the reason I read this in verse 10, it says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we, the writer is including himself. And I think this is the first time you'll see this as you read through the book of Acts. So Luke is with the Apostle Paul as they are going into Macedonia. Notice in chapter 27, we know that he is with Paul in the shipwreck on their journey toward Rome. Notice in chapter 27, you would see, again, verse 1, but I want to read verse 18. He says in verse 18, he says here, and we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. This is the whole, the chapter is dealing with the journey and the shipwreck and all that took place there and how that God spoke to Paul and how the sailors were saved on this ship. So you'll notice verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest. Luke is with him on this journey as well. Notice in chapter 28, this is when the Apostle Paul arrived in Rome, and he was a prisoner, of course. But notice in chapter 28, now Luke is referring to himself, but he does not mention his name. John does the same thing in the Gospel of John. He does not mention his name. But notice here in chapter 28 in verse 16, I want to read here in verse 16, there's other places. I just picked out these three that we could see what was going on here. Now, this is in Rome. So we're talking about chapter 16, going into Macedonia. Luke is there. The shipwreck, the journey there. Luke is there. But notice in chapter 28 in verse 16, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered, that is allowed, to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. So Luke is with him in Rome. And so in our text in 2 Timothy, if you look back there with me, and there's text here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, We find that in verse 11, he makes this statement. He said, "And Luke is with me." So we find that Luke was with him to the very end, evidently. And when we think about Luke and his faithfulness, this causes me to think about other verses, because this is one of the things that God wants of us, as the missionary spoke about this morning, is just simply being faithful. And Luke is there unto the end. When Paul is going through the court system before his, you know, during his trials and before his death, it appears that Luke is there all the way to the end. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, faithfulness is required. The one thing required of stewards is faithfulness. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, Timothy was called a faithful servant of the Lord. Also here in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, notice with me in verse 2. He says here, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Faithfulness, faithfulness. This is so important. In Matthew 25 and verse 41, in one of the parables about giving rewards when Christ comes again, speaks again of faithful servants that will enter into the joy of the Lord. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, preached a message on, I don't remember the title, it's not been all that long ago, a year, 2 years ago, and in Matthew 12, I'll read it to you, but one of the greatest titles of Christ is servant. He has many titles. We went through at least 50 names of Christ a number of years ago on a Wednesday night. And there's many names. There's more than that, but we covered at least 50. But one of the greatest titles is that the Lord is a servant. We have in a hallway a list of names of the Lord. And Brother Lavelle, I still remember this. We were talking about the Lord, and we come down the hallway there. And he said, "Which do you believe is the greatest name on here?" And I'm looking at all of them at the time, and there was so many, and he pointed to the servant, him being a servant. It says here in chapter 12 of Matthew in verse 18, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." Jesus Christ was a servant when he was here upon this earth. And again, we would find this issue of faithfulness in Ephesians 1:1. Paul writing to the churches speaks of the saints and of the faithful in Christ Jesus. In Revelation 2 and in verse 10, speaking of the church at Smyrna, he speaks of them to be faithful unto the end, and Christ will give you a reward. Then he also speaks again of his faithful servant Antipas, I believe it's probably Stephen, that was martyred, speaks of him. There's many places in the Bible that speaks simply, all God wants of us is to be faithful. Amen. Just to be faithful and whatever positions that he's given us. Well, notice now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and next week we're going to pick up in verses 13 through 15, and then the following week, verses 16 through 18, and then we'll probably finish the chapter and the book after that. But he says here in verse 11 again, in 2 Timothy 4:11, "Only Luke is with me." In other words, he sent some of these other. Demas had forsaken him, and he had sent Titus one place and another man another place. "So only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Notice as we turn to the book of Acts. Notice with me in the book of Acts in chapter 12. Now we got an entire sermon on this man as well, so I'm just going to make a few brief comments. In Acts chapter 12, notice here. This is John Mark he's speaking of. He was a young man, became a follower of the Lord, a helper of the Lord's apostles. He gives us the second New Testament book, the book of Mark, the gospel according to Mark. There are about 10 references to John Mark in the scripture, and we're going to mention just a few here. He's referred to as Marcus, John Mark. Again, he was a Jew, the son of Mary, the nephew of Barnabas. Barnabas was his uncle. He lived in Jerusalem, but also traveled with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. The author, again, of the Gospel of Mark. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 12 is the first mention of him in the book of Acts. And I'm going to read in three different chapters, as we did with reference to Luke. But notice as we come here to Acts chapter 12, now Peter is in prison and James has been killed. The church is being vexed, according to verse 1, the church at Jerusalem. And Herod was going to kill Peter. Well, we find in verse 5 that as Peter was in prison, that the church was praying without ceasing for him. But I'm going to come down to verse 12 just for time's sake. And you can read about his release from verses 6 through 11, the miraculous deliverance of Peter because the church had been praying for him. Never minimize prayer. So verse 12, this is the first mention of him in the book of Acts. And he's in a prayer meeting with the church in his mother's house. It says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. This is Peter now, released out of prison. The angel set him free. And it says, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, they were gathered together rather praying. So the first time we meet John Mark, he's in a prayer meeting with the church in his mother's house. They're meeting in the house. Notice as we come down to verse 25, again, you can read in between later, but I'm just kind of skipping around. We give more detail when we actually preach an entire message on this. But notice now in verse 24 and 25, it says, but the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So we find here that Paul and Barnabas took him on their first missionary journey. Notice with me in chapter 13. In chapter 13 and in verse 5, it says, and when they, now this is the church at Antioch, and they are praying and fasting. They laid hands, you know, up on the Apostle Paul and Barnabas and sent them forth to go out and preach. And it says in verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So we find here in this passage that John is not only with them, but he is helping them. He's a helper, an assistant, and an aid to them as they go about preaching. But when you read verse 13, you'll find that at Pamphylia, that he departed from them. He departed from them. John left the ministry and went home. In other words, like a deserter. Notice in chapter 15. In chapter 15, I want to read from verse 36 to about verse 40. Now, there's a little time span in between all of these, but I'm just picking out a few verses, and this would be, I think, the second missionary tour that they would be taking. And we find here, beginning in verse 36, and I'm just going to tell you what's here. He caused a rift between two men of God to the point that they separated. Now notice in verse 36, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Again, they're related. And he says, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So here's a man temporarily out of the will of God, and he had deserted the ministry. And so this man that was out of the will of God caused a rift between two men of God to the point that they got into an argument and they separated company. Now, I spend more time on this in the sermon on John Mark, but my opinion is that Barnabas chose flesh and blood over the truths of God's word. And also my opinion is, based upon verse 40, that Paul was right because he was recommended by the brethren. And you find Paul throughout the book of Acts from here on mentioned, but the other two, Barnabas and Mark, are not mentioned throughout the rest of the book of Acts. In verse 40 again, we find that Paul and Silas, they were being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God and confirming, verse 41, the churches as they went to them and ministered unto them. So here's a man that's out of the will of God that caused division between two men of God, and it created a problem. Now go back with me to 2 Timothy. Now let's read this again. We find here in verse 11 again, only Luke is with me, take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Again, he's mentioned about 10 times. Peter played a role in his life. You read that about 1 Peter 5 and verse 13. He's mentioned in Colossians 4 and verse 10. So there's some time frame between when he departed from them and when you read Colossians, Paul is in prison at that time. And when you read 2 Timothy, Paul's in prison. But we find that this man is restored. Seems like about 10 years later, Paul is saying, bring him. He's profitable for the ministry. He's obviously repented, and God has given him another chance. Again, you'll find his name also in Philemon, verse 24. So again, when we think about this, and I challenge you, just go and read the first 13 verses of Mark. You know, and he gives us this gospel. And it's a wonderful book. I'm thinking about letting that be the next book to teach on Sunday nights. 16 chapters. And when you start off, he just starts off in the very beginning, the very first verse, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he steps in to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, and talks about the prophets. And then verses 9 through 11, the baptism of Christ, the anointing for the ministry. In verse 12, the temptation of Christ. And then Christ preaching himself, the gospel of the kingdom. And then the choosing of some of the disciples. This Mark just jumps into this with all that he's got, and just lays out the gospel very plain and very clear. So it's interesting, we have these three men, one who had forsaken, we have no reference of restoration, one who had departed, and we have him restored and given us one of the New Testament books Then we have one of these that just seemed to be steadily faithful all the way through. Amen. So there's one other person I want to mention here tonight. And you'll notice with me as we come to verse 12. We find here, he says, in Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Probably sent him to Ephesus so that Timothy could come unto him. And he's mentioned five times. He's a Gentile. He's mentioned five times here in the New Testament. And he's mentioned, I'll give you these references if you want them, Titus 3:12, Acts chapter 20, verse 4 and 5. He is also mentioned in Colossians 4, verse 7, 8, and 9. We don't know a lot about him, but we know that Paul said he loves God, and we know that he's called a faithful servant with the Apostle Paul and probably sent to Ephesus so Timothy could come to see Paul before his death. You'll find him again in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 and 22. So this is why I get focused in on the men and women that we see throughout the Scriptures. We can learn from them. We can be encouraged, and sometimes we can be warned. Even Demas, we can learn things from him. But we can definitely learn things from Mark and Luke and Tychicus. We can definitely learn some valuable things from these. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, we thank you again tonight for your love and mercy and kindness to us. We thank you for this day that you've given us. And Lord, we pray for those that are sick in our assembly here tonight. We pray your blessings upon them, healing in their bodies. And Father, we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.